Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Frontier Beyond Fear. I am your host, Susan Larison Dans, a host who is speaking very much spontaneously from the heart. And this is a show that is basically in the making. I am introducing this show basically through immersion by totally committing myself to being on the air a few times in succession, just to get the hang of conveying a heartfelt point of view without significant preparation, because I believe more and more of us should have the courage to simply speak our minds, and that's why I'm here. Today my topic is one that is near and dear to my heart. And because I do have a very balanced background, I aim to present this in a very balanced way, discussing multiple point of views. And the topic is whether true freedom of religion is part of what is represented by the Tea Party movement. And I will tell you that although I currently do lean to the left, as some would say, I am an independent voter, and I have voted both ways during the course of my life. I put in the introduction to this show that I actually had the distinction of voting for George W. Bush the first time he ran. I did not vote for him the second time, and I also voted for Barack Obama, and I am a non-affiliated, I am not affiliated with any party at this time, and I actually enjoy my independent status and hope to maintain that. Now, let me tell you a little bit about my own spiritual background, and this show is actually listed under spirituality because we are going to discuss this issue from a spiritual perspective. I was raised in a very conservative evangelical home. It was a loving home. I, over time, had any number of doubts, which I've talked about on other shows of this program. And my doubts came to light through being exposed to multiple doctrines, and this led me to explore alternative types of spirituality, what some might consider more New Age philosophies. And yet, a good portion of my life has been a struggle trying to determine what true spiritual path I choose to follow. And I believe that this has given me a perspective where I can see issues from different points of view. And now just, I did do a little more preparation for this show than any of the others I've done so far, about 15 minutes or so. And one of the things I did want to talk about is what are the characteristics of the Tea Party movement spiritually. But before I even start that, I want to make it very clear that if people of a particular spiritual point of view choose to vote a certain way, that is part of the freedom of this country, and I recognize that. You know, I think I'm one of the rare people who in one evening can watch both Fox News and MSNBC, listen to part of the Glenn Beck program during the morning, and also watch his Fox broadcast, and actually see it from a somewhat balanced point of view, even though, as I say, I do lean, I will be very honest with you, at this time, I lean left of center. However, I do want to make it clear, something that I think sometimes people don't give enough credit to the value of the choices that people have, and they do have a choice. If a particular philosophy is intrinsic to every aspect of your life, it will naturally influence the country in which you live and, you know, those people that you will vote for in that country. And so I'm going to start this out by recognizing that very honestly, and I know people who very sincerely, people dear to me, who sincerely care about, socially conservative issues and those things that are meaningful to them through their spiritual tradition. But at the same time, because I've had this unusual journey, which actually is not all that unusual, there are any number of us who have journeyed throughout our spiritual lives, I can also see the other perspective. And this is where it gets interesting because, there are people of alternative spiritual perspectives who may not have the same goals in terms of the kinds of leaders they might vote for. And if you listen to Glenn Beck's program, you're going to realize that I have too, at least to some degree, because I'm going to reference some things I've heard there. And the reason we're going to talk about him a little bit is simply because although he's not running for office or anything like that, he certainly is a person that conservatives enjoy listening to, and he can be associated with some of the values of the Tea Party movement. And, one of the things I do want to say is that, so how do we know that the Tea Party movement does have this religious factor in it without judging it, just knowing that it's there? And that's basically based on a poll that was taken earlier in October. The results came out. And even in that, you have to be careful as to how you interpret them. Apparently, according to this poll, 81% in the Tea Party movement, and I believe they interviewed a little over 3,000 people, so this is just a sample, they identify themselves as Christian. Now, let's be careful there, because many people can identify themselves as Christian without embracing a particularly conservative brand of Christianity. And I think that's something that's important, is that this is not saying, and nor is it judging, what it means to be a Christian. It's just this particular movement does have a lot of Christians, and that is perfectly, perfectly fine. Nobody should judge that. Nearly half, they say 47%, are part of the religious right or conservative Christian movement, or they identify themselves with that. So we do also know that, and also through this poll and through what different candidates are saying, that many people are socially conservative in their views associated with this movement. So one of the things that I do want to express, and this is where you will see that I am leaning somewhat left of center, is there is a lot of discussion, if you listen to the Glenn Beck program, for example, as to how do you express Christianity within society. And Glenn Beck has actually, he makes jokes about himself being castigated essentially for saying that social justice doesn't have to do with Christianity. And I do believe that you need to be careful there, because Christianity is a huge movement. It is not just conservative Christianity, even though some people I know have a specific, more narrow definition for that term. And keep in mind, I did come from that background, the evangelical background, and I've heard the definition where it is much more narrow and associated with biblical inerrancy and any number of things. The broader view of what it means to be a Christian can embrace many philosophies, including Christian universalism, which is quite a large and growing group. People that embrace the idea that everyone is saved, for example, that would be a Christian universalist, particularly if they use biblical verses to justify their beliefs. And there are people who do this, and they can actually be quite conservative or they can be quite liberal. So to judge the Tea Party movement just because it's Christian really is unfair, because it's simply a reflection of the people who belong to the Tea Party movement. And I do recognize that. To have an awareness of what issues the Tea Party movement tends to stand for, that's something that's important not only for Tea Partiers, but also for independent voters like me and for everybody in the electorate. We need to examine, you know, what do the different candidates stand for socially, and what we are finding is indeed many of these issues are what would be considered socially conservative issues. One in particular that they've certainly talked about on MSNBC a lot is according to this poll, 63% say that abortion should be illegal. Also, there's a lot of talk about in what cases, like in rape, incest, and there are many cases that could be considered very extreme. And I'm not going to get into that debate here because that's a huge issue in itself, but I will say that's considered a socially conservative point of view. So if it's something that matters to you as an independent voter, as a woman, if that matters to you, or as a man, it's just something to be aware of as you look at different candidates. Do they share your views on these issues? Something else I want to talk about that I am seeing as a trend, and by the way, before I continue, I'm going to check on the chat room here. Again, I'm just getting this radio show off the ground. I will have guests in the future. Right now, I'm just calling in to talk whenever I feel so moved to do so. I feel that it is an exercise for me as I prepare to launch a more comprehensive version of this show, where I do intend to have some very interesting, provocative guests who will speak to people of multiple points of view and help us to come to the table and talk, because I think that's so important. It certainly happens within my world, where I have friends and family who are both conservative and liberal, is that we need to realize that we are all together in this, and that there is nothing to be feared in having dialogues. And even though right now it's just me talking, I do welcome callers. And my call-in number for this show is 310-807-5104. And there is also an online chat, which is associated with the show. You may observe the chat without being a Blog Talk Radio member. If you want to actually participate in the chat, you do need to log in. So you are welcome to participate in those ways. Okay. Now, as a person who's been observing some of the trends associated with this movement, there is without a doubt a strong feeling of wanting to bring how people view their own personal values into the public domain. And something that Glenn Beck often says, and I actually agree with, is that we as Americans do need to decide who we are, and it is through voting that we make that decision. If truly America is trending towards being this country which is more conservative, then that's an expression of who we are. When we vote, and this is one of the reasons I was motivated to get online again and start talking today, we need to not just look at the party, not just look at our angst, not, you know, really think about what matters to us most. And I will say that many associated with the Tea Party movement talk a lot about liberty, but their view of liberty and how much government should intervene in people's lives, there's actually a little bit of debate that I've seen just studying this online within the movement itself, that even if you care about socially conservative issues, how far should government go? There is some discussion within the party, but then there are also those who really do believe that government needs to enforce certain things that they believe are just based on values that they share, but those values may not be shared by everyone. And again, Glenn Beck is right when he asks that question, who are we? And each of us, as we vote, need to make that decision, and we need to really think about this election. And if anyone is thinking about not voting, this is the wrong election to do that. No matter what your point of view, this is the election where you need to vote how you truly feel. Okay. Now, something else I wanted to talk about is associated with the movement and with things that I've heard different pundits say is definitely something that concerns me. I have heard, and again, it's a point of view, but it's not my point of view, so it's something I'm going to share just as a personal thing that I find we need to be more respectful of alternative points of view. When you listen to Glenn Beck, he talks about, at times, honoring people of different religious beliefs, and he talks about even, you know, atheists, that he has friends apparently who are atheists and that they behave well in society and that's what's most important. But on the other hand, there is also a lot of discussion of what is the right way to believe. That's what's being conveyed. And multiple times there has been criticism on the show of this statement by our President Obama, which he said at a commencement address. Our individual salvation depends on our collective salvation. This particular statement has essentially been demonized because when I hear that statement, what I hear, and I can't know the exact spiritual philosophy of our president, but just based on my experience talking with people of many religious backgrounds, what I see reflected through there is just another trend in Christianity that's different from perhaps the more conservative trend of exclusive access to God, where this seems to trend more towards Christian universalism, where we don't talk about people being excluded from the love of God. And as people know, this is an issue that's very near and dear to my heart. It was certainly at the core of my own doubts over the years with regards to what I chose to believe is the concept of, are people excluded from salvation? And certainly people have very strong points of view on that, and that Christianity as a whole embraces all those points of view. In fact, I know many people who would consider themselves not even really Christian universalists, but value Jesus as a great teacher, people maybe of more New Age ideology, who would still consider themselves Christian. So we need to be really careful as to who we label Christian. Another thing we need to talk about is I've been noticing, even within the more progressive media, a lot of joking around about something that was a very popular and entertaining thing that occurred, the whole Christine O'Donnell, I am not a witch situation. Now, although it's, I know that society takes great fun in making fun of things that they don't understand. If we truly believe in honoring the beliefs of others, we need to stop making fun of those who claim the Wiccan philosophy, which is what it means to be a, quote, witch, and it's a nature religion is what it is. We need to stop making fun of groups just because we don't understand them and just because, you know, within our culture, there has been so much misunderstanding of that term that, you know, as Halloween approaches, you know, that's all we hear even more about this. And yet I hope that people out there realize that there are those approaching this time of year as sacred, and they take their beliefs every bit as seriously as you do. And by the way, I am not a Wiccan, although I have known people who kind of leaned towards that in my life. They are not, you know, these are good people who have values, who care about our society too. And it's not appropriate if we choose to respect those of alternative beliefs to demonize them. And so that is something I wanted to express today that I think is very important. And it bothered me the whole time, that whole little uproar was going on about Christine O'Donnell. Even when Wiccans apparently called in somewhere to defend themselves, they made jokes about it. You know what? We shouldn't be making jokes about a spiritual tradition that people hold as sacred. And just as much as evangelical Christians may not like some people making jokes about them, it's not appropriate in a pluralistic, respectful society to exclude a group. And, you know, anyone who's studied some of this, and I'm just going from memory again, I haven't done a lot of prep for this. I did more prep for this show than anyone yet. Maybe just my whole life has been prep to being here talking. What I want to say is, you know, there were Wiccans serving in the military who had to fight dearly to even get their symbols on their military graves, just because others didn't understand anything about their religion. They had been taught something about it that was not accurate, and, you know, based on that assumption, these people, even those fighting for the country and dying, were not honored in their own spiritual choices. And so something with regards to freedom of religion in general, I want us to explore today, does freedom of religion in a society that honors it evolve? And it is my contention that yes, it does. Spiritual thought has always evolved in our society. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, but there's been a series on PBS about religious thought in America, and I can't wait to watch it because I know that it's going to help me even get a greater understanding of just how this country came to be. But you don't even have to just look at this country to consider how throughout the world, religious groups and religious conflict has been going on for as long as we've recorded history. And throughout that time, new forms of spirituality have grown in popularity or have arisen. Old forms have been resurrected at times. All kinds of coalescences of forms have come into being. One of the remarkable things about this country is that we do support freedom of religion. And something people need to understand is that actually has had an interesting side effect, a very obvious side effect, that many people have felt free to discover the spiritual experience that works for them. And truly, they're just following in the footsteps of the people who came here to begin with, who needed to flee religious persecution. And persecution can come in many ways. I know, having been exposed to multiple backgrounds, I know very well that there are many Christians, very conservative Christians, who feel that they are being persecuted or that persecution is rising or that they will be persecuted based on what they believe. And I think it's important for those of us who are perhaps outside that theology to recognize that these people are concerned about being, as they call, persecuted. And although we can certainly question what one another believes, I think that that is part of one's spiritual journey, to openly have dialogues. I don't think there's any problem with having a dialogue where I talk to someone that I may not agree with spiritually, and I aim to understand them, and then I also express my point of view. In fact, that's what this show is all about. That's what my life has been all about. In fact, most people have spent their lives, if they have an interest in spiritual issues, determining just what they truly do believe. That is a journey that I believe continues for everyone, and I think that having dialogues about it, it can only be healthy for us, especially if it leads to better understanding of, why did those ex-evangelicals choose to leave the evangelical church? I would think that if I was an evangelical, I'd actually like to know that. I would like to have an honest conversation with someone who left the church and really begin to understand why that was. Whether you agree with that person or not is immaterial, but whether you understand and respect that person is important. You know, when we make fun of witches and not even attempt to understand what that may have been about. And by the way, what Christine O'Donnell described, I guess I saw it. I actually watched that show, too, on HBO, Bill Maher. And I actually saw the first show where he talked about this and played the clip. What she was describing actually didn't really resemble anything I've heard having to do with Wiccan, because one of the first things a Wiccan will tell you is that they don't believe in Satan. That's a common misconception. And yet, if you never have the courage to actually talk to one, you'll never know that. If you just listen to what somebody else told you about them or make up a story or come up with your own interpretation, you'll never know that. And it may be that you might come to the conclusion, well, this person really is doing that, they just don't realize it. That's something you would only establish through understanding more about what they believe. And I guess if that's your choice to believe that, that's your belief. But it doesn't make it true, and it doesn't mean that they claim to be doing these things. So, after centuries of witch hunts, one would hope that we are finally growing beyond our collective witch hunt, and a witch hunt doesn't have to involve a witch. It can involve someone of any spiritual philosophy, including Islam. I mean, I'm not going to get too deeply into that because that's almost a whole show in itself, but the mischaracterizations and the generalizations that go on there. I have been very fortunate to be, I think I've decided to call it a veteran because it feels like being a veteran, online writer on the Oprah Spiritual Forum. At times I write on the Political Forum. And that has been a journey for me, a very honest journey where I spontaneously have expressed what I have to say. And on those forums, everyone has a pseudonym. Mine from the start has been Bridge Builder, which there was a time when I may have been afraid to even announce that, but I'm not afraid to stand in who I am anymore. And what I want to say about that experience is that people of all different religious philosophies for multiple years have been coming to that forum to have these dialogues. And so if I have any prep for being here talking to you today, it's that. And I didn't start there. I actually started in a conservative Christian forum where I was asking some very heartfelt questions. And even there, although there was hostility, there's always some hostility. In fact, hostility can occur everywhere. So let's be careful about that, too. There are those who harbor wounds. I've harbored some wounds. We all do. We all say things sometimes that we don't mean. But if we truly want to be anchored in love in any discussion, we will acknowledge that, yes, I have some, gaping wounds in that area. That's being exposed. I admit it. I'll try to do my best to be as respectful as I can while still expressing my point of view. It requires balance. And something I'd like to say about that forum that is so very remarkable is how people from multiple points of view have come in there. We have Muslims coming in there from overseas talking about their viewpoints. That has happened. We've had Wiccans come in. We had a pagan who came in who felt that she had been very much persecuted within her community. And she talked all about that. And, I think it's really important for us to understand that. Something else I think it's important to understand is it's not particularly easy in America to have an alternative and openly expressed spiritual point of view and to be asking very challenging, difficult questions, because such questions are often judged as if we're not to question at all. And just because a person is questioning something that perhaps another holds sacred and doing that in a respectful way based on their own journey and honestly trying to get at the heart of the values behind whatever that system of thought happens to be, that doesn't mean that that person should be ostracized. That doesn't mean that person shouldn't be a full part of the community, because we believe in a pluralistic society. The last time I checked, the United States was a society that did believe in freedom of religion. And what that means is you really don't know what the person next to you actually does believe. I have known pagans. I knew one who was a businessman who had to actually hide being that from his more conservative partners because he didn't know how it would be viewed. I have known that through my honest expressions online, there have been many times where I've been concerned as to, how this would be viewed, and that I wanted, but at the same time, I felt it was so very important to have this opportunity to be authentically who I am. And, that's what this comes down to, and this applies to everyone, authenticity. If you are a conservative Christian, you have every right to be authentically who you are and express that. I have every right to be authentically who I am and express that. Together, we are all going to decide what the future of this society is. If certain elements gain momentum and that ends up pushing things in one direction very far, then that's the way the society goes, because through voting, that's what happens, as long as it's constitutional. Of course, there you have the questions that have been coming up in this election cycle about the Constitution, even questioning, although it was said to be a terminology issue, but I think there is some real confusion over just what separation of church and state actually do mean. And I think that one of the things we do need to acknowledge, and I so rarely hear this acknowledged, is that there have certainly been times in our history, even recent history, as recently as the 50s, per se, or the early part of it of the last century, where the country has swayed in a certain way, and there has indeed been openly expressed bias against people of other beliefs. I happened to see something, I think it was on MSNBC, about how Catholics were subject to a lot of bias in the early part of the last last century. And, there can still be all kinds of hidden biases. In fact, if you start to dissect even the movements themselves, whatever they may be, whether it's conservative Christianity, liberal Christianity, other forms of thought, you're going to find a huge diversity and even openly expressed disagreement over doctrinal issues and social issues and all kinds of things. So I think that it's even unfair to group, even conservative Christians together. What does that mean exactly? Glenn Beck, for example, is a Mormon. There are some evangelicals who would be judgmental of Mormonism. I certainly have heard that. There was some of that that was discussed when Romney was a candidate, how was he playing? But then again, there's been others who've been supportive of people like Orrin Hatch and so forth. But again, who is us? Who do you accept as one of you? And do you begin to exclude just based on your particular belief? Because pretty soon what then happens, say one form of belief does take over to a degree, then it starts getting broken down, and pretty soon you have the Calvinists against the non-Calvinists and so forth, all kinds of different issues that can occur, and certainly as part of the history of this nation. I'm going to check the chat room again. I know this is a new show. I know many of you may be listening in the archive, and I welcome that. As I say, over time, this show is intended to have guests as well, very provocative guests, and I've already got one lined up that's going to be quite interesting. As soon as I can get this all together, early on we'll have just some guests like me, just regular people who want to talk about their journeys. That's how I'd like to start the show. But then over time, we're going to start getting some more well-known guests. And I already have one who I won't name, but will be coming on, with the intent being of getting multiple people of different points of view together and discussing some of the things that maybe we don't agree on, but with the intent of understanding it and also being able to legitimately express our points of view from a spiritual perspective. So, and by the way, I want to be very clear that I don't want to exclude atheists and agnostics either. They are very much a part of this society. I actually admired President Obama when in his inauguration speech he chose to include them because they, guess what, are a part of this nation too. This is what a pluralistic society produces. And, you know, when you make that decision of who we are, perhaps it's time you need to really think about, do you truly feel you are a part of a society that you want to be pluralistic? And, you know, if a number of people decide that they don't want that, or if they want to overturn the Constitution, I'm sure there will be responses from those who feel otherwise. The dialogues that have formed this country have always involved very impassioned discussions and debates, so there would be nothing new. But one thing I would hope is that people would just openly acknowledge what they believe. And the fascinating thing about the Tea Party is some of those leaders are doing just that, so that can be examined and the voters can decide, is that something that I really truly embrace as a voter? So anyway, back to atheists, I just wanted to be very clear that choosing not to believe or choosing to express, I don't know what I believe, is a valid spiritual path. It is a path that some people stay on for a lifetime. It is a path that many people have passed through during a part of their lifetime. And the ironic thing about it is when you say you're an atheist, in one way or another, every one of us is an atheist with regards to somebody else's perception of God, meaning somebody else may have a particular definition of God that we don't agree with, in which case you don't believe in that description of God. And so I think that in order to be expressed atheist, not agnostic, it's just saying, you know, God does not exist, it's important that even they, for themselves, and they don't have to do this for me, although I think if we had a dialogue, we'd discuss this, define their terms. I mean, you know, what do you mean by God? Just to be clear, is it the Christian biblical God that you don't believe in? How do we define God? Many people would debate, and I'd be one of them, it's very difficult to define that term. If you are not a particular adherent to a book or a sacred source, a source that you view sacred that defines that term, defining it is more a matter of personal perspective. Even if you are an adherent to a particular source, given all the debates that go on within the people who all believe in the same source, I would contend even then it is a matter of personal perspective. Every single person is reading those words differently. And how you come to that conclusion is up to you. So let's be careful to include everyone, because the last time I checked, this was a society that honors freedom of all spiritual thought, freedom of religion, and that the state should not be imposing any particular religion upon us. And so anyway, I'm just, I may wrap this up soon since I don't have any callers and I don't want this to be an hour-long monologue. So I'm just going to double check here. But I think moving forward, what we need to think about again, we need to think about the issues in this election from many, many in-depth perspectives. This is not an easy election, and it shouldn't be considered easy for anyone. I would hope everyone would carefully look at just what do different candidates stand for, and as a whole, where do I really want this country to go, as well as examining the facts. And you can find the facts, I would hope, in multiple sources, not just one place. You know, if Fox News is your only source, that's not necessarily a good thing. If MSNBC is your only source, that's not necessarily a good thing. I would hope that you would look for as many different perspectives as you can and make a choice based on that. And something else, I guess I will go on a little longer because there's something that I have neglected to express that is important, something that is also very near and dear to my heart are women's issues. And if a particular group within a society believes that women are to be in a submissive role because of what they believe, that is going to influence the electorate. Does that mean that those people can't believe what they believe? Of course not. In a pluralistic society, you have a right to believe what you choose. Does that mean that people like me, probably in a future show, will not question the basis of those beliefs? Yes, we will. And I don't have the quote handy, but I've been studying Abigail Adams, John Adams' wife, a little bit in the past. I've studied her, and she was quite the firebrand wife. For her day, she really wanted women to have a vote, and even to the point of practically threatening her husband as to what women would do if they didn't have this say in society. And so something I want to say about that is the drive towards equality, which is something this society has always fostered, is inherent in our society. And it doesn't just have to be the founders. It can be the wives of our founders, too. And, you know, thank goodness that eventually women did earn the right to vote. But there are still many places within the society where women, there are places where women are told they cannot speak or hold certain roles within society. And that, again, where is the society as a whole going to go? And, yes, this does influence, although we are not going to jump deeply into this now because it's a whole can of worms. Yes, this does influence how you might view a women's choices within society as to how much value their choices are given based on scientific data and so forth and not based on religious beliefs. We have to be careful there because, again, that's about as deeply into it I'm going to get right now. But valuing women, valuing their choices, valuing their lives, that's important. And if there is a portion of the electorate that is devaluing women in any way, that certainly matters to me, at least in terms of expressing my views, which I feel are very compatible with my hero, Abigail, my heroine, shall we say, Abigail Adams, who didn't hesitate to express her views in the day that she lived. I think that about covers what I wanted to express today. And, you know, as we go forward, just remember, and again, I will quote, well, not an exact quote, but very close, just what Glenn Beck is telling the people listening to him. Who are you? Who are we? Who do we choose to be as a society? And do these candidates that I'm evaluating right now, making my final choices, do they reflect not only who I am, but who I think, what as a whole we feel that we're moving to as a society? Do they truly reflect what I choose to support? So if you can approach the election that way, and please do vote. I don't, again, no matter how upset, no matter how apathetic, I cannot urge that enough. This is an important election, and you need to take that responsibility seriously and express your voice. If you don't express your voice, someone else is going to express that voice for you, and that's why you have the right to vote. So everyone have a great day. I'm glad to see I'm getting some listeners. Most, I know some of you are listening live. I haven't figured out how to monitor who's actually listening live because I'm still figuring this whole Blog Talk Radio out. I know I'm getting some archive listens, and I think that's great. I'm continuing to get this show off the ground. And as I've said on other shows, as I continue to evolve as a host too, I don't know if I'll be back tomorrow. We will see if I do a show tomorrow. But if I feel moved to say something, or if I feel like I need more on-the-job radio host training, I may indeed be back. But just watch the schedule, and I will certainly post that. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can certainly find me there. You can find me just by looking for my name. I am Susan Larison Danz. And I also go by user ID Bridge Builder, BRIDGEBLDR. It's abbreviated on Twitter. At times, I do still participate in the Oprah Spiritual Discussion Forum as well as the political forum. I do not mince words over there, so be prepared. Also, if you go way back, yes, I've been on a journey on that forum too, and I'm not afraid to say it. Honestly expressing who we are in the moment has become a lost art form. I guess I am going to go on for another minute. We may actually get to an hour here, and you know what? That's fine if that's the way it goes, because we have become a society where everybody is afraid to say what they feel because they're afraid they're going to be quoted somehow. You know what? We need to stop managing our own personas. Heck, even just average everyday people out here, you know, I'm just a mom out here talking, and I've had people say I should record this show and edit it, whatever. You know what? I didn't do that with my writing through the last several years. I said what was on my heart at that moment. Could some of those writings come back and people say, oh, look at this, look at that? Of course. But you know what? I don't care, because that's what I said in that moment. Do we have to hold everyone to everything they ever said? Do we, you know, why did we care so much about Christine O'Donnell's witch comment, for example? Do we really believe that people are just stagnant throughout life? Do we really believe that people don't have a bad day where they're particularly angry? And if you've got a pen handy and you're a person who does like to write online, I can tell you right now that that's not always the best state of mind to be in. I'm sure it happens on this online radio show too, and I'm sure my broadcasts will vary depending on what's going on in my life at a particular time. Can we stop judging people so stringently and not cutting them the same slack that no doubt we give ourselves for our own journeys? Can we recognize that every single one of us is on a journey? Stagnation in life generally doesn't happen to anyone, not while you're living. So that's the other thing. No matter what your point of view, don't be afraid to say it. And also, don't be afraid to say, yes, I did say that once, but you know what? I no longer believe that. And we should honor that. We should honor that just as much as we honor within ourselves our own journeys and evolution in thought. Whether it's thought, spirituality, you know, lifestyle, we need to be respectful of what it means to simply be human. what it means to learn and grow through time. Okay, well, I think I will leave it at that. We've come very close to the end of the show. So thank you very much, and I will see you tomorrow. Perhaps, sounding like I may be here tomorrow. If not tomorrow, I'll be back next week. Have a great day, and treat everyone you meet with love and respect. And, hey, try to understand your neighbor and see where they're coming from. I think that would benefit us all. Thank you.